Brantley, thank you for joining me today on Pop Culture Unplugged.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Exciting times, my friend. New album at the ready.
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way.
On the release of the record.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, man. It was a long time coming now with this one. So thank you. I appreciate that.
What was the inspiration behind this project, and what can the listeners expect from this track, from this album?
I think generally, I've kind of been sharing about it in the same way. These songs were all done over the course of a long period of time in LA and New York, and all these songs were co-written.
Okay.
So they were all done at a pretty high level with some pretty s supreme musicians in high-end studios, and they just kind of sat there. I think there were like four or five different studios that this record was done in LA and New York. And finally, after a long labored time spent sitting on my hard drive at home, I was like, I'm just gonna put this record out as it
Oh,
is.
wow.
So I combined, the four or five different sessions. They all are co-written. They were done with, master musicians, and it just sounded like it was a good release. So yeah, I know it was a long explanation for a short question, but
Oh, no worries. How is this, how is like At the Ready different from like your previous work that you've released, both musically and like thematically?
I think I've kind of bounced around genres like a lot of people in our demographic. I mean, I'm not all Stones, I'm not all Beatles, and I'm not R&B, and I'm not hip hop, and I'm not, but I'm all of those things, and I think this record was pretty right up the middle. It was really done, and they were all co-writes for one, which I've never released a co-written record. Everything that I've done has pretty much been on my own. It was all just solo songwriting, and these were all done with pretty supreme, amazing co-write songwriters as well. So I think it's a pop rock record is what I think it is. It's basically it doesn't fall that far from the California Dreams fan base. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, what do you think? What was like the biggest challenge trying to do this album?
There's a lot of red tape that goes into releasing a record like this, and a lot of that has to do with finances.
All right.
Basically, what happened is that I got deals, record deals, and we would do like four songs here and four songs there and five songs there and three songs there, and all of those record deals, weren't they were I, they were the finances were given to me, basically. Fronted to me.
Yeah.
If those turned into a major record deal label, then they would be reimbursed. And some of that happened and some of it didn't. So really just sort of getting the blessing of the patrons and the people that, supported and believed in me all these years, was the best part, and the hard, most difficult part. I got blessings from everyone, so it was good to go.
Amazing. At the ready, the title. How did you come up with that title? What's the meaning behind that?
I labored over that. Ready and up for anything. We're in a crazy time. The music business is pretty, it feels slightly obsolete, the music business in general. It's not like I'm going for a major record deal label where, they front me 100 grand or, and then give me money to go on the road. I mean, even that is just kind of ridiculous. So At the Ready was just like, I'm up for letting this go, getting this out there, letting people that want to hear it enjoy it, letting people that don't, not shoving it down their throats. If people want to come and they're into it, I'm all about it. And if they're not, I'm not about trying to like force feed people. People, we don't want that.
Right. Your past albums too, you worked with the late producer Don Smith. How did
Yep.
you like now without him in your life, like how did you like decide
Yeah,
like in this album? Yeah, like how did you get through this album?
well, Don Smith. So Don Smith produced Keith, you know who Keith Richards is, right? Yeah, of course you do. Don Smith recorded Keith Richards' solo records. He recorded the Traveling Wilburys with Tom Petty and Bob Dylan, all those guys. He recorded, I mean, massive, amazing people. He asked me to, he wanted to produce some tracks on me. So he wasn't the one. He my first record was called Up Until Now, and it was every song I'd done in a major studio at that time. Some of these tracks were done before that record that I had done with Don Smith. And then some of those tracks were done after. But these producers and people that I met are basically people that I knew from musicians. For example, I did the Paul McCartney, it's called Ram On, which was his first solo record after the Beatles, and they asked different musicians to sing different songs. And I did Backseat of My Car with the original drummer, who was Paul McCartney's first drummer after Ringo. And he's the one that introduced me to Don Smith. So, you know, they're like, hey, you got to meet this guy. You know, he was doing TV, but he's a full-on musician, and you know, I think you should work with him. And sure enough, I played him some songs. They listened in the end, you know, that's kind of how all of this stuff happened, is by word of mouth and by people hearing what I'd done on for demos and things like that. And it just kind of word spread that way, and that's how I got these amazing opportunities.
I mean, we remember you from the 90s also. Like, I mean, we mentioned California Dreams and everything. How much has the music industry changed from the 90s that, you know, you and I were probably in our 20s back then to now?
How much has the music business changed?
Yeah, in the industry, yeah.
Well, internet changed everything, television, film, and music. So for things like this, it's great. You know, we're people that want to see our shows and see what it's all about. We can present that without having to have $1 million to do that in on a proper studio. It's the same thing with music. When the internet happened, you know, musicians made money first and foremost selling records and t-shirts and touring. The touring is the only thing that really happened. Now people just pay for our streaming services, Spotify, iTunes, et cetera, and the musicians get, I mean, we just, the musicians just got cut off, you know. So the only way we're making money is by whatever we're doing, selling t-shirts, playing shows, things like that. That business model was a lot different back in the 90s. Until, you know, until it became what it is now, it kind of just dwindled down as far as paying the musicians, you know, because everyone in a computer with a computer can make music. So it just flooded the market, like movies and Netflix. You know, it's like everything's just flooded, content, content, content. Everyone can be have their own show. So business-wise, you know, you don't need to buy a CD even or an album. You don't have to do that to listen to the music. It's changed.
It's kind of funny because I was just talking to one of my buddies and I said to him, like, remember the days where you had to wait like every Tuesday or Thursday for a release of a CD or a movie and you're at Circuit City or Best Buy or whatever, just to get your hands on it.
Yeah,
Now
exactly.
it's like it's crazy now, but like, do you feel like now though, like because of all this technology and streaming services, you have more exposure though? Or
Yeah,
quicker exposure?
you do. I mean, it's way more exposure. The issue and the dilemma is that you're not, it's not one entity. It's everyone with a laptop and an internet can reach out to find their audience. So in some ways that's amazing, because you're quick to reach your audience. But in other ways, you know, financially, it's not as good because you don't, you're, how do I get paid? How do we get paid? So most people in arts, you know, and entertainment business have to get paid other ways. You have to find other ways. You need to be selling something, providing something. It's like everything's Amazon. You know, you need a product attached to your music,
right?
Basically. And so, yeah, it's changed. And, you know, for me, I had to come to terms with the fact that, am I going to do it regardless of whether I'm going to make any financial gain from it or not? And yeah, I am, because it's just part of who I am. I'm going to do it anyway. Do I need to let people hear it? No, it could sit on my hard drive. But that's what this record was. It sat on my hard drive for years. And I was like, why is it just sitting there? Just let people that want to hear it, hear it. So it could change. I think people are finding different ways to do that. You know, that's a whole podcast in and of itself. There's a ton of content that explains, you know, if you get 1 million streams, you know, I know people that wrote songs and got 1 million streams and they got $700.
Jeez.
I mean, it's like $700, you know, like you can't live on that. You can, you know, not well, you know, so it's, and 1 million streams. I don't have 1 million streams. California Dreams isn't even on streaming service. So even that show in the 90s doesn't have 1 million streams. But, you know, we just have to find different ways to satisfy, you know, a lifestyle.
I believe someday, though, California Dreams will be streaming. I think the fans want it. They've asked for it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we have some hardcore fans and you know, I was fortunate. I was kind of like the last of the Mohicans in that, with that Hollywood thing, because, you know, when the internet came along, it changed everything. And we were right before the internet busted out.
Yeah.
You know, and streaming wise, there again, it's the music. Yeah. So it cost a lot of money. And you can say, I don't think I've ever said this in an interview, but it costs a lot of money to stream California Dreams because of the music. So it's not Saved by the Bell, or it's not, you know, you know, those, that's a whole different thing. So, but they'll work it out. They will. I agree with you. People want it. And if there's a demand, well, you know, it's supply and demand, you know.
That's right.
Demand, people will want it and they'll figure it out. And I'm sure it will happen soon. We're all for it.
Yeah. Are you planning any tours for your album now that's out?
Yeah, I want to definitely play shows live. What I'm trying to do is to combine that with some California Dreams events, because a lot of people want the California Dreams event. So I'm just kind of tag teaming that. Trying to get some of that together, but even that's difficult because we're all scattered throughout, you know, Jay's in Australia.
Yeah.
You know, so, but we're working on some of those shows and trying to do some of the Comic Cons and play shows that way. And, I'll play shows locally and in the Southeast probably. And, I'll definitely keep streaming because I get a lot out of that as well. Just for my own creative endeavor, you know? Yeah. And I'll definitely be playing live shows.
Amazing. How about, tell us a little about that reunion that you guys did last year. Like, how did it feel stepping back with the cast members?
It was really good. You know, we're, it's like going, I keep saying this and keep, it's like going back to high school. Yeah. You know, you go back and you just pick up right where you left off. You know, everyone kind of fits right into their, roles. You know, it's funny how that happens. Like, even as people, like, you kind of fit right into your role. Like, Sly was like, Michael Cade was like, busting my chops, like, just like it was yesterday, you know. Playing shows and stuff, playing that show and rehearsing was awesome. Felt so good, you know, when you have the whole, you know, this was basically, it's about 300 people, you know, sold out bar kind of deal,
yeah.
venue bar. and New York City, and everyone's screaming the words and singing it back to you, you know, that's a good feeling. It's a great feeling. And so I think it was really euphoric, really very nostalgic. And people came from all over the world to that, you know, Ireland, England.
Wow.
You know, it was crazy how many people showed up for that, and people want more of that. So, you know, we're planning more of that.
I don't know if you've heard of there's a huge 90s cons that happened, and there's one in Florida, and then there's one in Hartford, Connecticut. So like, you guys got to try to hit one of those.
Well, we met I know the Connecticut one happened, and I don't know what the red tape is with that. Maybe we weren't prime time and they didn't like that, but we certainly had so many fans go to these cons wearing California Dreams.
Oh, the shirts.
Yeah, everyone's wearing their California Dream shirts and stuff. And so, you know, I think I don't know why that doesn't happen. I you know, I've never been a booker or an agent, so I don't know why that doesn't happen.
Whose idea was it last year for the reunion? Was it like one of you guys or somebody from the outside?
So, Jenny Kwan, she works a lot, and Kelly Packard, who is now married, they're both married, but they had their idea to do it in LA, which I wasn't able to make because I was working. And then the fall after that went so well in LA, they said, we want to do one in New York. And so Jenny and Kelly just put the whole thing together. Wow. Jenny really spearheaded it, and you know, kind of she put on the producer hat and made it happen. It was a lot of work for her, so props to her for making that happen. And we were all on board. You know, we wanted to help so much that we'd do it again. It's just a matter of it takes a lot of time and energy, and she's busy working on other things. So I'm trying to step in a little bit to that role and help her. So she and I are kind of trying to find some ways for us to revisit that in a different location.
Right. Especially if you like decide to do it every year, you can get bigger and bigger and bigger also.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. It should be once a year at least. Right. Yeah. And then if we did kind of where we got together and we did like three or four shows and hit different states, I think even that works, you know, so we're just, you know, we're kicking around those ideas, and all that ties in with my music too, you know, because it's, you know, you guys are my fan base, you know, really, and let's just call it what it is, you know, and I, there's new people that of course, you know, can climb on that bandwagon, but it certainly is California Dreams that kind of, you know, got me any notoriety in any way. Anyway,
yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I had the soundtrack when I was younger.
Yeah, it is.
I think we all had it.
I mean, people, you know, if we just start off singing "Surf Dudes with Attitude," I mean, Jimmy Fallon sing when we went on that Jimmy Fallon show. You know, I didn't realize how he's like, I love that's my favorite theme song, and he's singing my part. You know, like "Surf Dudes with Attitude," just kicking it off, and I'll just, you know, it's a warm fuzzy for people in their time, in that our day and age back then. You know, we were young,
right?
You know, it was a good time. It was. Now we're like, remember those times back then?
Right.
We're like our parents. Remember those times back there, man? It was so nice and easy. Now it's crazy. And,
if I could go back in the 90s, I'm going.
Oh, I'm with you, man. I love it. I dropped my pick. Hold on. I always have a pick in my hand.
No worries.
So, but, yeah, no, let's do it. Let's go back. I mean, the 90s cons definitely represent that because people show up for those all the time.
Right. Brentley, now, how can the listeners and the viewers keep up with you? So hopefully for the album, more stuff, and future California Dreams reunions.
Always my socials. I got a website at my name, BrentleyGore.com. That has everything, every LinkedIn, you know, all of that stuff, Linktree, all that stuff that just, you know, points you to Instagram, Facebook, all of that. So if you just go to Google my name and look up BrentleyGore.com, it's all there and they can find it, and streams everywhere. I'll keep everyone posted. I started a new channel on my Instagram page where I'm kind of people that are wanting to know. I kind of have 100 people that are kind of wanting to know inside stuff. That's just kind of starting out, but it's been fun to do that and build that up because I never really did that a ton before, but now I'm kind of jumped on that train and kind of just people that are interested and want to do stuff, can find me there.
Amazing. Brentley, I want to thank you for giving me a few minutes today. This was great. And let's get you back on, hopefully with another reunion or something.
Love it, man. Thank you for your time and all the best to you. I'll check your stuff out and I'll see you next
Perfect.
Time.
Perfect.
All right,
Thank
man.
you.